Started here and getting ready for our revival that's coming up, and I hope you're all in prayer for the revival. I hope you're in prayer for each and every Sunday for the teaching and preaching, and you're praying for the men that stand in the pulpit and that teach Sunday school. We're leading up to, as I said, the revival. So if you would, continue to be in prayer. Pray one for another. It's important. It's important that you do. It shows the love of Christ in you when you have genuine concern one for another. So just a word of encouragement there. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin our lesson. Father, I just ask now that you set me aside, that you speak through me. Give each one here what they need from your word to have them draw closer to you, to allow you to live your life in and through them so that they'll understand what the Christian life really is. And we'll give you thanks for what you've done, what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. All right, last week, Mark started out the pre-revival Sunday school series, and he started with the topic, How to Cleanse Your Way. I hope you were paying attention because it was an excellent lesson, and he took it from Psalm 119, and he brought out how that we should watch what we understand what we speak, what we say, because our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ can be hurt by what you say, how you say it. He also covered where do you go? Is your testimony being hurt by where you go? Also, what do you look at? And he mentioned all you got to do is hit the wrong button on that computer and you've got stuff up there that you shouldn't be looking at. And once that's on there, or if it comes on the TV screen, it's there. It's in your mind. And try and get rid of that. Why can you get rid of everything else except the bad things that come into your mind? It's unbelievable the way that works. You talk about a computer. God's given us a brain. Well, most of us, most of you, you have a brain, and that goes in through your eye gate, and it's there. It's indelible on your brain. I hit the delete button, but it doesn't work. It's still there. And it'll come up at the worst times. You're trying to pray. You've got a burden for someone, and you're trying to pray, and all of a sudden that comes into your mind. Why is that? You know why it is. It's trying to distract you from getting in touch with God to get answered prayers, to get your life right. And then he also hit on, what are you listening to? Very important. What goes in the eye gate, the ear gate, goes into your mind, and it's there. And then his last point was to, what are your goals? You need to have goals in your life. I don't care if you're young, if you're old, or if you're like me. You need goals in your life at any age that you're at. You need something to strive for. And the first thing is, of course, scripturally, spiritually, what are you striving for? And then he brought it all together and he said, in conclusion, fix those areas that are wrong. Fix them. And then maintain the areas that are right. Very, very good message and practical application, which we need in our lives. Now, this morning, I want to take a look at, and I title this, Christ, Who is Our Life. What is a Christian life? You ask saved people, what's a Christian life? I could ask every one of you in here and get different answers. We'll look at about six concepts, what people think the Christian life is, and we'll move on from there. First of all, the Christian life is my life, for living my life for Christ. That's good. That's nice. That's great. In return for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, I will devote my life to live for Him as Lord and Master. And this all seems good. It all seems right. And it is. Secondly, the Christian life is dedicating my life, my talents, my abilities, my time, my energy to Him. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of all honor, all praise, and all glory. I will dedicate all that I am and hope to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that seems very sacrificial and very good. And it is. Thirdly, the Christian life for me is to try and serve the Lord and obey all His commandments. First of all, doctrinally, we won't hit on it. But if you're going to try and keep all the commandments, you're in the wrong dispensation. But the Lord Jesus Christ has set an example of holy living and a holy life before God. The Christian life is to do what He would do in all phases of my life. And that sounds honorable. That sounds good because you want to be holy. You want to be like Christ. Then the Christian life is finding and fulfilling His plan and purpose for my life. God has a perfect will for my life. To the best of my ability, I should measure up to His expectations and thus fulfill His plan and purpose for me. And this all seems noble and good because you want to do what's right. You want to be right. And then the next one is the Christian life is having the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of my life or on the throne of my life. And He needs to be there because the Lord Jesus Christ knows best. I will allow Him to control me by being the center of my life and ruling over me. I will submit to Him always as Lord of my life, and that seems very majestic and good, and it is. And then the Christian life is for me to follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of my life. Now, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, I will follow Him. I will listen to Him. I will talk to Him. I will walk with Him. I am going to do whatever He would want me to do, wherever He'd want me to go, say whatever He want me to say. and be whatever He would want me to be. And this seems devoted, seems sincere, and it seems good. Now, all of these are very good. You can't go wrong by applying those to your life. But while they seem to be good, all of those unwittingly conceal what the real Christian life is. Now, if you noticed in there, there's too much of me, I. We've got to get rid of that. And I'll explain to you in a minute. The Lord is not served by human hands as if He needed anything from us. What's He need from us? He created everything. He give us a breath of life. What's He need for us or from us? Because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Every blessing in your life is from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful. We don't even realize all the blessings that we have from the Lord. On your way to church this morning, How many times could a car have broadsided you? How many times were you distracted and could have crashed into another car? How many times could a drunk driver have come down the other way and crossed over the lane and took us out or put us in the hospital? Are we thankful for all those things, the blessings that we don't even think about? Acts 17:24-25 says, God hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He doesn't dwell in a church. Okay, the dwelling in the temples is gone. That's Old Testament. He dwells within the believer, you and I who are saved. That's his home right now, not a building. Verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth life to all and breath to all things. Now, God never intended that we should ever try to live the Christian life. He doesn't want that from us. He don't want us trying to please him. It's not only difficult to live for him, but it's impossible. Yeah, you can go along for a short time. I'm not gonna sin. I'm not gonna do this. I'm going to do this. You don't even know sometimes when you're sinning, when you're crossing that line, until the Holy Spirit convicts you. So it's not us. It's only by totally yielding, and you've got to get this concept down if you want to live a life of having peace of God. Peace with God you got when you got born again. You're no longer his enemy, but peace of God, and go through this life being able to handle any situation that comes up in your life. I don't care what it is. When you have that peace of God, you can go through anything, handle anything, because it's not you, it's the Lord in you that's doing it. So, it only comes by yielding and full surrender to the indwelling Christ that a Christian can know what the Christian life is. Now, trying to live the Christian life results in repeated rededications and repeated recommitments to my life. And I've seen this when I was in jail. So many of these guys, I was ministering there. I wasn't a prisoner. So many guys, when you're preaching, you're teaching, so many of the guys come under conviction and they want to get right and do right. I want to rededicate my life. I want to recommit my life. Instead of teaching them the concepts of the Word of God, they'll say, well, all you need to do is confess that sin and get right and not do it again. And they don't have any idea how to avoid that situation again. So you see it over and over, the same guys that are in there. They'll want to recommit their lives. They'll want to rededicate their life. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to be there either. So trying to live the Christian life is only going to become a flop for you. And this is living proof that you see too much of I, me, myself involved in these matters. Now, it is God's intention that Jesus lives his life through you as a saved person. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, it's Christ in you. It's not you. It's not, I decided I'm going to live for Christ. I decided I'm going to be like Christ. It's Christ in me as I yield to him. And I'll tell you what, when you get this concept down, it makes a whole different world for you. Things change in your life because it's not you. You realize it's the Lord as you yield to Him. Jesus often said, "In and of myself I can do nothing." Even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of a human man, said, "It wasn't me, it is God that does it through me." Yet Christians today try and do what they can to please God. And what happens is they unconsciously see Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, as being their helper rather than their source. Jesus, help me to do this. Jesus, help me to do that. Jesus, keep me from this. No, it's you yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ that lives within you. As you yield to Him, He lives His life through you. You don't have to worry about that stuff because you're not going to want to do anything that is contrary to Him or bring sin into your life. You want to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through your life, and the only way it can be done is through Him living His life through you. Check out your prayers sometimes and see, Lord, take control of my life, or is it Jesus, help me to be what I should be? I don't have to worry about being what I should be. Lord, live your life through me. And then it's Him showing through. And then when people see you, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you try to live your own life, live the Christian life in your own flesh, then that sets you up for failure. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, and he declared in Acts 22. Now, doctrinally, this is to Israel. Always pay attention. Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? What are they speaking about? What dispensation are you in? You've got to get these concepts down if you're going to understand the Word of God and know how to apply it to your life. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by His miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him. Who did it? God did it by Him. He's in His human form. You and I are in our human form. We're not spiritual yet as far as our new bodies. How many wish they had that new body? Especially in the morning when it takes you 10 minutes to get up out of bed, or just to sit up in the bed and you hear the creaks and the moans. But one day you'll have that body, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now, if we understand this verse, it was God who fed the 5,000. It was God who turned the water into wine. It was God who raised Lazarus from the dead. It was God who did everything that men saw the man, Jesus, do. It was God through Him. Now, we need to learn lessons from that. Jesus attested to this principle many times. John 14:9, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seeth me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shew us the Father?" When people see us, do they see the Lord Jesus Christ, or do they see us, our physical desires in the flesh, or do they see the Lord Jesus Christ? So it is with this principle in mind that Jesus also says in John 5:19, "Then answered Jesus and saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So again, it's the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. In our life, it's the Lord Jesus Christ through us that things get done according to his will, his way. It is with, again, Jesus also said, John 20:21, then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now, he was speaking specifically to the disciples there, but practical application to the believer, those who are born again, he says that to us. We're in this world to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to uplift, magnify, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends us. We're his ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? He represents the country that sends him. We're to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are to, we're not to try to do as Jesus would do, but we are to let his abundant life live in us. And this is, if you ever get a chance, let me encourage you to go on and read about, it's called many different things, the exchanged life, the crucified life, the co-crucifixion. Read any of that material that you can get. Because it'll help explain to you even more about Christ living in and through you. That's what the exchange life is all about. So, if I can find where we were. Okay. It's the abundant life in, as the Lord lives in us. The disciples asked Jesus in John 6:28-29, then saith they unto him, pay attention, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is a work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So what are we to do? We're to preach the word. We're to present the gospel message to the lost world. We're to live a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they see Christ in us. That's what we're to do, the practical application for you and I today. Now, it's certain that every born-again Christian, born-again person, because they were first called Christians at Antioch because they were Christ-like. There's many saved people today that are not Christ-like. All of us should fit into that category that we're Christ-like. They should be able to call us Christians without any problem. So every born-again person that has believed on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no doubt about it, otherwise you'd be on your way to hell. But it's not quite so certain that every born-again believer believes on the Lord Jesus Christ to do the work of God in and through them. They want to live their own lives. And you see it. Preacher mentioned it during the prayer before Sunday school. He mentioned how the third generation tends to fall away. And the reason for that is, in the Old Testament, we were given the principles that we're to teach our children what God has done for us and how God's worked in our lives. And that's what's lacking in many saved people's lives. That's why their children are gone astray, and then their children's children are done as far as a saved person goes, with very few exceptions. So the fault is ours because we're not applying the Word of God to our lives. What's God done in my life? Do your children know? Do your grandchildren know? And I know things are different today. It was an agricultural type of environment years ago, which God set up anyway, where the families were together and things were totally different. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to do what we're supposed to do. So Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So we need to understand that. We need to get that down. Here's the illustration. How much can a branch do without the vine? Nothing. Branch is hanging there on the vine. How is that branch fed? Comes up through. Most are farmers in here or know more about it than city folks. All the nutrition comes up through the roots and fed through, and then the vine brings, or the branch brings forth fruit. Can do nothing. How much the branch can do, cannot choose what fruit to bear. You got a branch on an apple tree. That branch can't say, well, I'm going to grow some grapes this year, or I'm going to grow some peaches. No, the branch does not decide. It doesn't decide how much to bear, and it does not decide when to bear it. The branch can do nothing except it abide in the vine. Now, how much can a branch do with the vine helping it? It still can't do anything. But it's in and through it. The branch does nothing but abide in the vine. You and I do nothing but abide in the vine. And then the vine does everything. We yield. We totally yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. He works and brings forth in us. Now, the vine does everything, as I said. The life is in the vine. It brings forth from the ground, through the vine, all the nourishment and everything that branch is to have. Then it brings it to the branch, and then the fruit appears on the branch. How much fruit, you're a branch, how much fruit are you bringing forth as you yield to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, what is the fruit according to the Word of God? How many times have you been able to, or taken advantage, or had the opportunity to witness to a lost person in the last 6 months? And have you backed away from it? Did you get scared? Nothing to be ashamed of, because there are times that I'm in a hurry now. I can't take the time now, but you can take the time to give a gospel tract. I was telling Terry the other day, Dunkin' Donuts, they know me. I'm up there usually every morning, and I drive 16 miles one way to Dunkin' Donuts just to get my coffee and take Nora for a ride. When I was in the land and I'd drive to church to go to work, I passed 6 Dunkin' Donut shops on the way. It shows you how different it is up here. But anyway, I go there and parking lot was full. I had happened to get a spot, and younger guy had to park in the other parking lot. So I went in. He come in behind me, and I says, you got to get to work? He says, yes, sir, I do. And so I says, well, go ahead of me. He said, you sure? I said, yeah, go ahead. I got all day. So he went ahead of me, and he said, thank you. I says, before you go, I says, I want you to read this. So I give him a gospel tract. You take advantage of every opportunity that you have. And then what will happen to you is when you have an opportunity and you for some reason you miss it, or you didn't bring your tracks with you, then you're going to feel like such a jerk. I come under such conviction when that happens. I want to go back in time and replay it. I want that time machine so I can go back. But the only reason God won't give it to me, because I'll be back in the 50s. I feel like such a jerk when I leave the tracks in the car or don't have them with me and don't say anything. But that's called conviction, and that's what you and I should have when we miss that opportunity. So never miss an opportunity to pass out the Word of God. The vine does everything, Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. This is very important now. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, how did you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? It was by faith. You heard the Word of God. You believed it by faith. You trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to a point where you said, Lord, save me. I can't save myself. And that's how you live the Christian life, is by faith. Lord, I can't handle this. I can't do this. You're going to have to do it through me. And you totally yield to Him. That's hard, especially for guys. Guys don't want like to yield to anybody. They don't want to know that someone's better than they are. Call it pride, call it whatever you want. But it's harder for a man, I believe, than it is for a woman to yield in anything. So, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for ye walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we were to walk this Christian life, by faith. Romans 5:10 says, for if, when we were enemies with God, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So it's not by knowledge, not by what we know. It's not by our feelings. Your feelings can take you the wrong way. You know that. The greatest illustration, and I always use it, is when you're behind that wheel. Those feelings can take you the wrong way, and you end up in trouble. And it's not by your intellect. It's by yielding to the indwelling Holy Spirit. So we're to be reconciled. Reconciled, the definition is to reestablish a close relationship between whoever it is. Some of this scripture, Matthew 5:24, you bring a gift to the Lord. Again, doctrinally, this is Old Testament. This is to the Jews, but there's a practical application that we can use here. Leave the gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. We're not to stay angry with the brother in Christ. We're to get things right. If some they want to get upset with you, that's fine. You do what's right. Clear your heart. Clear your mind. Let them get aggravated. Let them mull over the situation. You're fine. Let them be all stressed out. Romans 5:10 says, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And over, you have more scripture dealing with reconciliation. You've got Leviticus 6:30. You got 1 Samuel 29 and verse 4. You've got 2 Corinthians 5:18 through and 20. All dealing with reconciliation. And So we go to Philippians 1:21, and it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now we all use that, and yeah, I'm gonna get that new body. No more aches and pains here. No more heartaches. No more trials, troubles, tribulations. But that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be to see the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done for us. He did it all for us. Those are just side benefits, as I was saying. So it's not up to us to go on saving ourselves. Now, you save past, present, and future, okay? This is all basic. You should all know this. Past sins are gone. Present sins are gone. Future sins are gone. Ah, that means I can live however I want to live. I can do what I want to do. There's a problem. What I want to do. Me. We've got to get rid of the me and realize that it's Christ in me. So what happens is for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it's not up to us to live the Christian life. It's Christ in us. Now, by faith, we believe that Jesus Christ has taken away our sins, saved us from eternal punishment and separation from God. And it's the same way, by faith, we allow the living Christ to keep us in victory. He's the one that does the keeping. To live above the circumstances that will crush us. And if we allow these circumstances in our lives to weigh us down, it will crush us. That's why you see so many saved people depressed and down. And it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. now, I'm going to skip this part because it's too late. But there's examples of people who were clean in their own eyes. You have Jehu. You have the Pharisees. You have Paul at times. And then there's examples of people following false ways. Jeroboam, Josiah, Paul, and the Jews. And then you have examples of the end results of false ways. And some of those were Nabal. What happened to Nabal? He ended up, it looks like he had a stroke, and he was as a stone, and then a few days later, God killed him. Solomon, what happened to him? He had strange wives and concubines, and you know what happened as a result of that. And you read the end result at the end of the book and what he says. And then you have Belteshazzar. What happened to him? He had the gold from the vessels of gold from the temple, and he's praising false gods with those. And what happened to him? You can read all about that. But I want to bring it to a conclusion now and show you that in Galatians 2:20 and Romans 6:6, that it's only the truth of these verses that provide the power to release us from our self-efforts to live our version of whatever we think the Christian life is. You want to be free from that? Concentrate on these verses. Galatians 2:20, read that. I am, present tense. Many of the new books out will say, I have been. No, I am, present tense, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive physically. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, wherein this body, this corrupted body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the secret is living by the faith of the Son of God that liveth in you. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, not was, Throw these books out that you read that say, that change that, or change any of the verses. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You have no reason, I have no reason to sin in our life. The old man's crucified. I am crucified. The power is broken. I'm no longer the devil's child. I've been adopted into the family of God. It's Christ that liveth in me, the Holy Spirit that brings conviction, guidance, and direction. And how does he do this? He gets us into the Word of God, or to read and study the Word of God. And again, we need to understand that we know our old man is crucified with Christ, and it's only the Holy Spirit that truth is real in our experience. And as a believer, we allow that truth to be operative. That means to control us moment by moment, that Jesus Christ can live the Christian life in and through us. That's, I encourage you to get into the Word of God, but I also encourage you before you do that to find out what each of the books are about. Get an understanding of the Word of God. You cannot just jump in there not knowing anything about it. You'll hear preachers say, read the Word of God, read the Word of God. And you should. We need to. But until you have an understanding, you're going to have everything mixed together. You're going to be a Jehovah Witness, Mormon, charismatic. You're going to be healing, want to heal the sick, raise the dead, speak in tongues. And is that your Casey fly through the air? So you need to get an understanding. That's why I encourage you to get grounded in the Word of God. Know the dispensations. Know what they are. Know how they apply. Know the different things of the Word of God. Who's it written to? What's it written about? Who are they talking to? Does it apply to me? Can I take any principles out of anything in the Old Testament and apply it to my life? These are things that you have to know to understand and to become more like Christ. But it the beginning is knowing and yielding to the Holy Spirit, to Christ that liveth within you. All right. Hopefully that will encourage you to be yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that it's Him in and through you, not my own efforts, that I can live for and be like Christ. All right, done. Pray for us, please.